few minutes ago, we read from Luke chapter 24, and the account that's there that I've read several times this week, just in preparation for today and just in personal, personal time, has caused me to ask the question that those men ask as they stood with Jesus. Not so much a question, but just a statement. One of the cool things about God's Word is just how it does not gloss over our emotions, our failures, our faults. It doesn't try to hide those. And so the men said to Jesus, "We had hoped." We had hoped. There's not a single person in this room that can't resonate with that in some way. I had hoped that the doctor's visit would go better. I had hoped that Dad would quit beating up Mom, quit drinking. I'd hoped that Mom would come back. I'd hoped that best friend would be loyal to me. I had hoped the job would work out. I had hoped what? I mean, you can fill in that blank as many times as there are people in this room and then more, couldn't we? All of us can identify. We can just track with that idea that, I had hoped and it just did not work out the way I thought it would or the way I thought it should. And that's exactly what the followers of Christ were feeling. Only a few of them could identify with the song we just sang of "Behold the Lamb." They had run away. There were a few faithful women there at the cross. But many of them had fled and just gone in all kinds of different directions. And I don't think there's anybody that probably impacted and crushed more than the one who was the first to always speak up, the first to always say, "If they leave, I'll stay." And that was Peter. In fact, the gospel writers make it a point that Jesus, rather than saying, "You idiot, you loser, you're the one who said this," Jesus didn't do that at all. "Go and tell my disciples and Peter that I will meet them in Galilee." And Jesus showed up. He showed up in that upper room where they were closed in with fear and fright and disappointment. They had hoped. And it didn't seem to have worked out. They had read God's Word. They had heard Jesus teach God's Word. They had heard Him repeat, not once, not twice, not three times, even more than that probably, that "I will rise again." How many times have we read God's promises, hoped in God's promises, we know of His faithfulness, and still we could say, "I had hoped it would go differently." We're disappointed. We're crushed. And that one who was the most disappointed, first in himself, and then in what had happened to Jesus, was Peter. And it was Peter who writes these words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." A living hope. Why? Because the foundation of that hope, the anchor of that hope, the one who is that hope, is alive. Amen? That's the deal. That's the point. God has been at work in our lives by His grace, by His mercy, by His calling in our lives, by His sovereign work. He has caused us to be born again, a new life, a new person in Christ. And that new life, that new person in Christ, has then a hope that's different from the world's. I hope the stock market doesn't crash. My retirement's tied up there. I hope nothing happens to Susan. I don't know where she hides all the stuff for the bills. I hope nothing ever happens to the kid. I hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. The hymn writer said, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Because His name is the name above every other name, and God has exalted His name through the resurrection. That's what Peter's writing about here. He keeps us secure. He's got an inheritance for us that the world can't imagine. John Calvin said this. He says, because of the indestructible hope that we have, he says, quote, enjoy the invaluable treasure of future life, that we may not be broken down by present troubles, but patiently endure them, being satisfied with eternal happiness. So it's our hope that stands in the midst of trouble. It's our hope that is our anchor. And I know that we all can identify with that. I had a situation a couple of weeks ago. And I just thought about it today, early this morning. I didn't even share this with Susan. We had just some stuff going on in our lives. Just kind of a stressful couple of days going on. And I thought, golly, I wish I could call Dad and talk to him about this. I wish I could do this. And boom, just like that came this reminder, you know. Just a slap in the face, if you want to call it that. Just a gentle hug, just a touch, just a prompting of the Holy Spirit. You know, just reminding me that my hope and my source of wisdom and strength and all that I need is in my living Savior. Do you have that living hope today? If your hope is in someone else, they will, I promise you, if not after you, before you, leave. If it's in any possession, any person, any position, that's temporary. We're going to sing a song. It's not just a chorus. It's a beautiful song that we've sung here before a couple of times. It may be a little new to you, but it sings the message of Peter's hope. That's what we're singing about today, and that's what we're proclaiming to you. A living hope. Amen? One more thing before we wrap up this morning. In Romans chapter 1, Paul writes this. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. We've sung this morning about the cross, about the tomb, about the resurrection. We've sung about Jesus being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And your personal acceptance of that does not impact that truth at all. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, descended from heaven, lived holy and perfect according to the law, died a substitutionary death on our behalf, was raised from the grave by the power of God, ascended back up into heaven where He rules and reigns and promises that one day He's going to return. You can believe that or not. It did happen and it will. And the Apostle Paul, as he declares these truths, just reminds us, not just of these truths, but what they mean to him and how they impacted his life. It changed his focus. He's no longer Paul-centered. He's now a servant. He's no longer focused on that which he would want to do. He's called to be an apostle. He's no longer like the world and living that way. He is set apart for the sake of the gospel. Jesus, he tells us, is the promise fulfilled. The promise is fulfilled. Everything that God promised in the Old Testament to David, to Abraham, to all of the saints, Jesus is the fulfillment of those. He is that today, whether you believe it or not. He says that he was declared to be the Son of God. That phrase there is again what I told the kids. It is God's way of saying, yes, this is who he is. Everything that the New Testament says, everything that the Old Testament says. He is not created. He is eternal. He is the Son of God. And it was declared, it was proclaimed that that's the case in the resurrection. That's why we sing to him this morning. That's why we worship him this morning. So you don't have to believe any of these truths for them to be true. You do have to believe them for them to make a difference in your life. You do have to know him to know the forgiveness that he offers, to know the resurrection power that he promises. Peter, in fact, said the very power that raised him from the grave is the power that's given to those who trust in Christ to enable us to live godly lives. Not perfect. No. But the blood he shed is still sufficient to forgive us for our sins when we confess them and offer them up to God in repentance. Jesus crucified, buried, resurrected, and offering salvation to all who believe was the heartbeat and the mission of Paul's life. And it is at the very core of our DNA here at this church. He was a servant. He was called to go. He was called to take this message. He says, to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. Jesus is the task, and Jesus gives the power for the task. This morning, before we go, we're going to take a few minutes to pray for, if you will, commission a mission team that's leaving this Thursday from our church and from another fellowship to go to India. It's an amazing opportunity. We've partnered with a group there, and it's just an amazing opportunity. More unreached people groups with just within a short distance of this part of India. It's an amazing opportunity for us to go, for us to send, for us to pray and participate in those people, those nations coming to faith in Christ for the sake of his name. And that's what we're going to do right now before we finish up this morning. So Dr. Rick Godwin is kind of going to be leading that team with Joel Bratcher. Joel is speaking at another church this morning. He's preaching this morning. So, Rick, why don't you take just a second and introduce the folks that are going to be going on the trip. You got a microphone there. And as he calls your name, come down front and let's just stand right here. And we're going to take a minute and pray for you all this morning.
I haven't seen everybody out there, so I'm going to call one at a time. Jerome, can you come up? Is Stephanie here? I don't know if Stephanie was able to make it. Both Stephanie and her daughter Lexi are going. I know that Lexi could not make it because she had to take her exams early so that she would be able to go as part of our trip was during the time she was going to be having her exams. Who else do we have here? Woody. Is Woody here? Yep, Woody's here. And Jennifer.
Jennifer Wright. Yep. He's not going to forget her.
And finally, I'd like to bring down my beautiful bride, Karen.
Yeah. Thought he was going to forget, didn't you? No. JT had his back and I had his front. We weren't going to let him do that.
I was worried about it.
And amen. We'd like to take the opportunity to thank you for sending us and thank you for supporting us to the glory of God.
Amen. Amen. So let's do this. If you're one of their family members who's going to be holding down the fort while they're gone, would you stand? And we want to pray for you as well. So stand up, family members. All right. Okay. Amen. Yeah. Good job. Amen. All right, so let's do this. Let's all stand together and just reach across the aisle. Let's join hands as a family. All right, can we reach? All right, let's pray together. Lord, your name above, your name alone is the name that's above every other name. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that. We've read it, the kids have sung it. Lord, we've professed that and sung it this morning in one way or another. We thank you that by your grace you have touched so many hearts in this room. And Lord, we stand even as our hearts kneel before you this morning and thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for the power that's demonstrated there and the power that you promise is available to those who trust in Christ. Lord, to live for you, to go for you, and to proclaim his name among the nations. Father, we pray that many will come to faith. Not just in India, but here in Roxborough, through the gospel going out through and in your church. Father, we pray for those believers right now who are in India, many of them facing persecution, many of them, Lord, facing turmoil and suffering that we can't imagine simply because they're willing to bear the name of Christ. And Lord, we pray. We pray for them to know the resurrection power of Jesus. We pray for them to know the fullness of your Holy Spirit and the covering, Lord, that comes through that Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for them to be powerful in your word and powerful in demonstration in their lives, God, for that gospel to have credibility to people that have never heard the name of Christ. Lord, we pray for the Pinnell Gospel team over there and for their work in planting churches. Lord, we pray for this team as they get ready to go. We thank you that you've made provision. We thank you, Lord, that you have enabled them to put together a skilled and gifted team. You've provided all that they need to serve medically, to serve, Lord, just in a servant heart's capacity. Lord, we thank you that you've enabled them to know you, to be filled with your Spirit, to know your word, and be able to teach it. And we pray that it would be taught clearly. And Father, we ask you to just cover over them as they go while they're there and then bring them back. Keep them from all the bugs and all the parasites and all the things over there that could, Lord, just bring bodily weakness and harm to them. Protect them in that way, Lord. Father, we pray for unity in the team. We pray for oneness of heart, oneness of vision. Lord, we pray for their families who are going to stay behind. Thank you that we have church families, Lord, that are just going to gather around these folks and serve them and love them while their loved ones are away. Lord, we pray for lives to be changed. Lord, not just for people to be healed physically or for them to know that, Lord, folks from America have the ability to bring medicine and things that are going to make their lives easier. Lord, we pray that we would be faithful as they go to proclaim the gospel, to preach Jesus. The Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be at work, softening hearts and opening hearts to receive that word of the gospel. And then, Lord, we just pray that those lives would be changed, that they'd be committed to Jesus. Lord, we know from our brothers over there and our sisters that they love you. Lord, they've not turned back from the gospel, even when things get hard. Father, may we learn from them. May we be like them in that way. And so, Father, we do just thank you that we can gather in this place to worship. There's brothers and sisters there gathering in little huts and basements and open air under trees. Lord, they gather wherever they can. And we thank you that they do. We thank you that there's a witness in that. And we pray, Lord, for that witness to grow and be strengthened through this team and others who go to serve there. Lord, all the glory goes to you. Thank you for commanding us to go, commissioning us to go, giving us the power to go. Thank you for giving us something to say when we get there. And Lord, we pray that those words would be life-changing. We thank you for that, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You